You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Some information just into our newsroom right now at 12:49. It has been confirmed that a member of the Boise State University campus community has tested positive for the novel coronavirus COVID-19. The university has notified they are working closely with Central District Health to respond. Individuals who visited the administration building or the rec center on Friday, March 13th, may have come into contact with that individual who tested positive. Though the risk is low, if you experience symptoms of COVID-19, you should alert your healthcare provider that you may have come in contact with an infected individual. Also, according to KTVBnews.com, a Micron employee has tested positive as well, and they are quarantining themselves in self-isolation. We will, of course, continue to bring you updates on that, but wanted to give you the latest information. One other thing that is affecting people, as so many of us know, is how more and more businesses are closing or limiting their hours. And this is impacting so many members of our community. This could be financially devastating for so many. That is why the Idaho Community Foundation, the United Ways of Idaho, and the Idaho Nonprofit Center are partnering together. They have created the COVID-19 Response Fund for Idaho. This is a charitable fund that will provide philanthropic support to trusted organizations that provide support and services to low-income, vulnerable people and families. Nora Carpenter, who is the executive director of the United Way Treasure Valley, is joining us live to talk more about this. Nora, thanks so much for taking some time out of what I am sure is a busy day.
It is absolutely a busy time for all of us, Gemma. It's our pleasure to be here to talk about this very important philanthropic pool of funding that is growing daily, that will be made available as quickly as possible to organizations who are directly serving housing stability, services for folks on the verge of homelessness, physical and mental health care for those who are impacted by this incredible changing health situation, food insecurity, domestic violence, and child care. Those are the areas that we're prioritizing now, and I'm excited to be talking to you about it.
So, Nora, tell us about how this will work, because it really is working with these trusted organizations, correct?
Correct. So this is a pooled fund, which means that any organization, company, or individual can contribute to this pooled fund. We intend that it will be a rolling distribution. A donor can choose to make a gift that could be applied statewide based on highest need, or if they wish to narrow down to a specific region of the state, they can do that as well at the time that they make their gift. Prioritizing those areas that I just mentioned, including housing stability and folks who are on the verge of facing homelessness, along with supportive services. We will be receiving grant requests or proposals from qualified nonprofit organizations or organizations that are similar, for example, schools, who will apply very quickly through a process. We have a group of individuals across the state and in localized regions who will review those requests and be able to make priority decisions based on the amount of funding that we have at any given time. We really anticipate that this will be a rolling process. Right at the moment, I'm pleased to share that while this fund was just announced starting Tuesday morning, we have about $120,000 so far with a very generous lead gift from the Blue Cross of Idaho Foundation and very generous supporting gifts from Chuck and Pam Lyford Fund and the Joe and Patty Marshall Family Fund, both held at the Idaho Community Foundation. And for Micron employees, if you're listening, Micron Foundation is matching gifts from their employees. So a dollar from a gift becomes $2 based on Micron's very generous matching support program. So the idea is we pull the funds, grant recipients or grant proposals will be received, vetted based on high priority needs, and the funds will be distributed very quickly back into communities so that they can go right back to work.
I mean, and Nora, as you noted, your organizations put this together Tuesday. I mean, this has been moving rapidly. What have you at the United Way been hearing from folks? Because this really is a moment that could be devastating, as I mentioned, for really, truly so much of our statewide community, these, you know, hourly workers, people that work paycheck to paycheck. And that just adds to the stress of what we're all already dealing with.
Absolutely. You know, you've heard us talk about our Alice families. This is Idaho's working population that are just hanging on. Asset limited, income constrained, employed is what Alice stands for. And these are the families that are most directly impacted by this situation. This is unprecedented. This is probably the most overused term these days, but it truly is unprecedented. And we can't rely on our usual go-to in times of crisis. In Idaho, we are particularly good about physically coming together to lift with our hands and our hearts when a community or a population is suffering. We can't do that this time. In fact, we have to do just the opposite. So the fastest way for us to get resources and assistance to families who are on the verge of homelessness, to displaced worker populations, et cetera, is with our financial resources. And that's what this pooled fund will enable us to do.
And we should note that the money cannot be used, like an individual cannot come and get that, correct? They really do have to work through one of these vetted organizations.
Yeah, precisely. The idea here is that we are resource rich across Idaho. We have organizations from schools to nonprofits and so forth who are highly skilled at providing a service or a resource or working in collaboration to do that. We want to make sure that folks receive the right resources that they need through service providers who know how to deliver that resource, which is why we will work through organizations and not make direct cash disbursements to individuals.
So you mentioned that you've had some generous donations. You know, in this time, so many people want to step up and they want to do something. I mean, to the point that right now it feels, you know, it used to be a week ago that dining out was a, you know, what was something you did as a little, you know, maybe, you know, splurge. And now it feels like almost a moral obligation to do that. But how do people, if they want to do more and they want to donate to this, can individuals do this as well?
Absolutely. From a $5 gift that might have gone to a coffee to a $5,000 gift or even larger, all an individual, company, or organization needs to do is visit www.idahocf.org/COVID/19. And I believe you guys will be linking it from your website as well.
We will. And, you know, we should say that. I mean, sometimes people think like, what can $5 do? Well, if all of us who have $5 do something, it makes a difference. Nora, thank you so much for talking to us about this today and getting that information out. Like we said, we will link that if you would like to donate. We have been talking with Nora Carpenter with the United Way Treasure Valley about the COVID-19 Response Fund for Idaho. Thanks so much, Nora.
My pleasure.
And Idaho Matters is interviewing Governor Brad Little on Monday, March 23rd, about his response to COVID-19. Do you have a question or a comment that you would like to share with the governor? Please leave us a voicemail. We may use your question on the air. Here is that number, 208-426-3625. Again, 208-426-3625. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're doing our best to give you the latest information to help you make good, informed decisions. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters.